You listening to another edition of POCC Block Report Radio with the Minister of Information, JR. Today we're going to be talking to Rakia Muhammad Jibrin. She's an educator as well as an activist who's been very involved in the Oscar Grant case, or I should say the Justice for Oscar Grant case. And she's been also involved in one of the founders of Cop Watch Oakland. Rakia, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, JR. How are you?
I'm good. Well, to kick it off, let's just get right to business. I know that you were a constant spectator in the courtroom in dealing with Messerly, who was eventually indicted for the murder of Oscar Grant a few weeks ago. And I understand that he's had a number of hearings since. Can you speak on what's been going on in court in dealing with the case of Oscar Grant, particularly with Johannes Messerly?
Yeah, so definitely. So two things have been going on. I think that the defense... is Messerly's defense lawyer, Michael Raines, has been attempting to prove that Messerly, Johannes Messerly, was mistaking his taser for his gun. The other thing was that he was attempting to prove that the act was not intentional, the act of murdering Oscar Grant III. And so what has been going on in court is that Michael Raines has been calling a lot of BART police officers to the stand, specifically Anthony Peroni, who was one of the first BART police officers to get on the platform that night, as well as Marisol Dominici, another BART police officer. And Michael Raines has been asking a lot of questions, or he did during the preliminary hearing, to establish that Johannes Messerly had made a mistake. What we know from the outcome of the preliminary hearing is that it was not a mistake. He definitely intended to take out his gun. And what also came up during the preliminary hearing was that both Marisol Dominici in particular and Anthony Peroni, as it seems, definitely had something to do with that murder. And I think it's really important that we pay attention to those two in particular, and we pay attention to their testimony, because it seems like there was definitely a lot of contradictions in their testimony while on the stand. And I don't think Johannes Messerly is the only one who should be set to trial.
Contradictions like what?
So specifically, there were contradictions even starting from when Marisol Dominici and Anthony Peroni had gotten word from dispatch that they were needed on the scene at the Fruitvale BART station. On dispatch, they had gotten word that there was a call for a 242, which is a battery call, but no one had actually said anything about a gun being on the train or that there was a gun involved. And I think most of their testimony was based on the fact that there was a threat on the train, that there was a gun on the train, and most of their testimony and most of their excessive force was justified. They justified it specifically saying that they were looking for a gun, right? And we know that in Johannes Messerly's, you know, in defense of Johannes Messerly, so many people were saying, well, he thought that Oscar was going for a gun. And Anthony Peroni had definitely stated that Johannes Messerly had told him on the platform, I thought he was going for a gun. And I think we need to pay attention to those minor details that are said on the stand. Oh, well, you know, Marisol Dominici had stated that originally dispatch had told her there was a gun involved. And when the prosecuting attorney Stein questioned her further, it came out in her testimony that actually dispatch had never said there was a gun on the train. The other thing is that the perception of threat was just exaggerated to the point of straight perjury, meaning that they lied, you know, on the stand. And I think we need to pay attention to that. What was the threat exactly? Much of the testimony of Anthony Peroni and Marisol Dominici was that there were crowds of people coming off the train. Crowds of people. I think Anthony Peroni had said that it was almost like the noise of a football field. That was inaccurate. And much of the video that was shown in court, very crisp, very clear, demonstrated otherwise and contradicted what they had actually said on the stand while they were on the stand.
So now, where is the case at? I understand he was indicted after that series of hearings, and you said now it's going to preliminary in October, am I right?
So the preliminary hearing established that Johannes Messerly would stand for trial for murder. So the murder's trial starts October 13th. I think it's going to be very important that people show up, people show solidarity, that people show support for the Oscar Grant family, but specifically that people come out and speak out against police brutality in Oakland, which is just so prevalent all throughout Oakland.
So can you speak to these next hearings that are coming up in a few weeks?
Yeah, So I think what the defense attorney Raines is trying to do is he's trying to, one, to some extent, ask for the charges to be dropped, which I don't think they will be. But I think his intention at the arraignment, on June 18th, Johannes Mezuri was arraigned in front of a different judge, Judge Jacobson. Basically, Raines wants to push for a motion to change the venue of the hearing, of the trial. So they're trying to move it out of Oakland, and I think that's the priority for the defense right now. The defense, they're actually, Raines is carrying out a survey, so he has an expert, apparently, who will be surveying potential jurors, and what that expert might do is testify within the month of July. So July 24th, I think people need to be present, and mid-September, it might be September 18th, but we have to get clarification on that date. But the testimony from the expert will determine whether they have found that they can carry out this case in Oakland. And my guess is they're going to say that they cannot. And so we really need to stand up and sort of speak out against that. I think we need to say something to the district attorney about keeping the case in Oakland. I think it's important that this case stays in Oakland and not be moved away.
Why would the defense want the case to be moved out of Oakland?
Well, I think it comes down to what sort of jury they're looking for, right? They want a jury that is going to, in some ways, not understand the plight of black people. You know, I think that's what it comes down to.
Right.
And I think we've seen this with many other cases in the past, and we've seen cops get off, right? And I think that it's important that people understand what black people go through. I think that's a reality in our country. I don't think it's a biased reality. I think it's just a plain reality. And moving it out of Oakland to a less diverse, less attuned community that has not been following the case, that doesn't know the excessive stress that is on people of color by police in a police state is detrimental to this case, but also detrimental for police activity in the future throughout this country.
Well, I know that as a result of the murder of Oscar Grant, you and a few of your comrades have created the Oakland chapter of Cop Watch. Can you speak a little bit about how it was founded and what is the purpose as well as the activities of Oakland's Cop Watch?
Absolutely. Oakland Cop Watch started out right after Oscar Grant was murdered by Johannes Mezuri. And I think pretty much it was just Oakland residents who were frustrated, really disturbed by police brutality and excessive force, police racism, state racism in Oakland, who have neighbors and family members who themselves have been affected by the stress and the racism of police and of the justice system. And so we have come together in hopes of acting as both observers and advocates, acting as community members to watch the police. I think police need to be watched, and it's unfortunate, but I think that's just the reality. Again, we have to look at what is the reality. Why are police using tasers excessively? Why are they using their guns excessively? What follow-up is there? And I think just from the Civilian Review Board hearings that have been happening in Oakland, we see that even the Civilian Review Boards have not been able to fully investigate. They haven't been given the time. The Internal Affairs Department of the Oakland Police Department has not adequately followed through on investigation processes and given the Civilian Review Board enough time to carry out their own investigations. And I think that we have to actually get out on the street. So aside from the bureaucratic processes of investigations or people filing complaints, so much of the time police are not even disciplined. And so much of the time the Oakland Police Department says that they are following department policy when we see shootings happening, when we see excessive taser use happening. And there are many things that are never filed, right? So we need to be out on the streets watching cops. We need to create a culture of watching, of accountability, of stopping police terror in our communities.
For those of you that are just tuning in, you were just listening to the voice of Rekia Muhammad Jabrin, an educator and activist with the Justice for Oscar Grant movement as well as Cop Watch Oakland. Well, Rekia, what has the response to your Cop Watch been from the community, and what has the response been from the police?
Well, the police definitely don't like it when you're filming them. I think something that is important to notice, moments before Oscar Grant was killed, he had pulled out his cell phone and he attempted to take pictures of the BART police. Moments later, he was killed. Anthony Peroni had stated to him no pictures. He was slammed to the ground and he was killed. Marisol Domenici had used excessive aggression towards a BART passenger who was filming her and asking her for her name and her badge number. And so we have to really pay close attention to the fact that police officers do not like it when they are exposed, but they have to be exposed. They have to know that the community is watching them. Residents have been really, really receptive to Oakland Cop Watch, to knowing their rights, to Berkeley Cop Watch. And Berkeley Cop Watch has been going on for a very long time. There are many cop watches around the country. This is not something new. I think it's important that police officers know that they cannot just threaten children, young black children, without any sort of accountability, without people seeing that and documenting that. I think it's important we document with video footage what we are seeing on the streets. And so there's been a positive response from the community. People have been afraid of the police for a long time, and I think that just seeing people feel comfortable to come out of their houses instead of watching the police through their windows, come out of their houses when they see groups of us filming the police, is actually creating a positive culture in our communities.
Do you have any last comments that you want to say about dealing with this Justice for Oscar Grant movement, or I should say the police accountability movement as a whole? You know, is there anything last that you want to say?
Yeah, I think that we definitely need to organize. I think we need to move beyond our differences. Activists are activists, organizers are organizers. We're all political people. We live political lives. I think that we definitely need to meet, gather, show up to the court proceedings. We need to show up on October 13th. We need to pay attention to how the media is softening the severity of the actions of the BART police officers. There have been many lies that have been stated on the stand, and it's been contradicted by video footage. I think people need to come out of their homes. And I know that people are afraid of the police because the police terrorize, and that's a reality. But I think coming to Cop Watch meetings, attending Cop Watch trainings, we have an upcoming training in the last weekend of July in West Oakland. I hope people will come out to that. I hope people will join us cop watching, film the police, pull out your cell phones, pull out your video cameras, take pictures of the police, let them know that you are aware of their presence and that you are watching them.
How do people get in contact with Cop Watch Oakland?
They can contact us at oaklandcopwatch@gmail.com. So oaklandcopwatch, one word, @gmail.com. They can call us at 510-548-0425.
And can you give the court dates? I know that there's a June court date and there's an October court date. Can you tell the people what they are and where are they?
So the July 24th court date and the October 13th court date will be at the Alameda Superior Courthouse in downtown Oakland off of Oak Street. So definitely show up at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's definitely better to get out there by 8 o'clock because there will be a long line to get in to the courtroom. So if you want to get into the courtroom, get there pretty early. Otherwise, please come out and show your support and stay out there and talk to people and protest with us.
You were just listening to the voice of Rekia Muhammad Jabrin, educator as well as an activist who has been working night and day with the Justice for Oscar Grant movement, as well as she's been working on behalf of victims of police terrorism as a whole. Right here on the Block Report, she was reporting on what's going on with the movement and dealing with Johannes Messerly being indicted for murder for the murder of Oscar Grant, as well as the founding of Cop Watch in Oakland. I'm the Minister of Information, JR, and if you would like to get more information on these court dates, you can hit up blockreportradio.com or sfbayview.com. If you would like to hear more from the Block Report, hit up blockreportradio.com. Until next time, we're signing off.